Welcome back to part two of We Love Movies with me, Gordon Hayden. Joining me now once again is Andy McCarroll. Andy, we were talking movie news earlier on. Now we're going to discuss another story which has a lot of people kind of intrigued because it's a case of has he gone or hasn't he? Henry Cavill, the Hollywood Reporter, announced that it was pretty much a done deal that he was exiting the role of Superman. But then his agent came out and was like, ah, no, that's not the case at all. No. He's still very much playing Superman. What is the current state of play? Do we know anymore?
No, it seems to be in a state of limbo at the moment. He kind of posted that really bizarre Instagram video with him in the Krypton shirt and lifting the Superman figure up. So I think, you know, on the basis of the backstory of that is he was offered a cameo in Shazam and he would only agree to it if he got the Man of Steel 2 sequel. And studio kind of said, well, no, you're not getting that. And then, you know, everyone's kind of negotiating now, I think, especially with him taking on the Netflix series, The Witcher. That's going to take him out of commission for another couple of months as well. So It seems like a kind of power play on both sides on who's going to be left standing. And, you know, it's very easy to replace Superman, as I think he'll find out if he tries to push too hard.
Yeah, he's not the type of actor, really, that the ball is not really in his court, if truth be told. I think he could easily be replaced. One actor that, we're going to talk about some actors now that could take over the coveted role. Michael B. Jordan has been mentioned, which would really shake things up, Andy.
Yeah, I can imagine every chat room on the internet will catch fire if they cast Michael B. Jordan. I think there's so many different stories you can tell with that. Like, if you want, like, obviously, if you just want to go the straightforward route, Michael B. Jordan is a fantastic actor. He has the physicality for it. He has the charisma. Anyone who's seen him in Black Panther or seen him in Creed, he is a great actor. But there's so much more you can do if you cast him. You can really delve into, like, make this like a really deep Superman film, you know. You can have teams of isolation, of outcasts, and like, who better to play that than Michael B. Jordan? There's just this, if you cast him, you open up a whole another world you can do. And especially with like Brandon Routh and Henry Cavill kind of playing very similar Superman characters, rather than more of the same, I think you could really do something different and do something special. I think DC needs to shake it up in a way to just kind of differentiate themselves from Marvel. If they want to, you know, see themselves as the grown-up version of the superhero films, doing a kind of, you know, really politically charged Superman film with Michael B. Jordan in the lead, you know, there's no better choice than that.
Well, if they weren't going to be so, if they were going to be courageous, Andy, say, and go down that road, if they were to try and be a bit more conservative-like and try and go with someone that would resemble the Superman in the comics, one actor that you think might fit the bill is Armie Hammer, who is an actor who's been rebuilding his career after the massive flop that was The Lone Ranger. Like, he's gone off and he's done some interesting indie work and so much so, like Call Me By Your Name being one of the most prominent films on his CV of late. What is it about him do you think that would be perfect to play Kal-El?
Yeah, like you said, I think he's completely reinvented himself. He was cast a couple of years ago as Batman in the ill-fated Justice League film with George Miller that didn't get made. And he's gone from things like The Lone Ranger, obviously he played the Winklevoss in Social Network, and he has the kind of action chops we've seen in Man from U.N.C.L.E. And anyone who's seen him, like, he looks like a comic book character. Like, he's 6'5", 6'6". Built like an absolute tank. He has a jaw that looks like it's carved out of granite. And he could, like, you could definitely see him, you know, physically as the Superman. And if you want to kind of go more of the same, essentially, I think he would be a perfect choice for it. But I do think he's someone who can grow into the role. I think if you give him something that maybe, I think Henry Cavill was kind of shortchanged an awful lot by the Superman film. He didn't get an awful lot to do with Man of Steel. No. Justice League, he's kind of taken off the table for most of the film. But I think Armie Hammer is someone who is, you know, sooner or later, he's going to get a big franchise film to build around. And I think with Superman is definitely probably the best role to be played for him. I think it suits him a lot more than Batman. I think he's kind of got that, you know, Americana look to him, you know, good old boy, apple pie, that you wouldn't need for Batman. So if you're going for kind of, you know, steady the ship and keep it going, I think Armie Hammer would definitely be the choice for that.
I also think he's a better actor than Henry Cavill. There's just something cheesy about Henry Cavill. He doesn't really have much range and or depth. That's just my own personal opinion now of him. But I think Armie Hammer, some people might think, and he has more. But I really do think he does have more. And I think he has kind of shied away from trying to make big blockbuster films. Maybe they weren't coming his way. but he has been clever working with directors like Ben Wheatley in Free Fire, making the likes of Call Me By Your Name. He hasn't been going for what might be deemed the big mainstream films, and he's really been plying his trade, showing that he does have a bit of range as an actor. Get him to dye that head of his, and I think you're right, I think he could make an excellent Superman. He definitely has the look and I think the prowess to pull it off. Now, another actor who was once flirting with the idea of playing a superhero, I think it might have been Captain America. I'm not sure whether he pulled out or he didn't get it in the end. But the actor in question, who was now turned director, is John Krasinski.
Yeah, he was down to one of the, I think it was the last three, himself and Henry Cavill were down for Man of Steel. And because he was kind of coming off the back of The Office, he wasn't seen as, a viable choice to play Superman. And we've talked about Arnie Hammer reinventing himself. Like, no one's had, I think, a bigger transformation than John Krasinski. He played, the soldier in 13 Hours, where he is absolutely shredded. And now of course, he's starring in the Amazon Jack Ryan series, where he's playing an action hero on that as well. So he's very much gone away from that kind of the goofy Jim from The Office look that he had and reinvented himself as this, real action star. And again, he's kind of one of these, he has that, good old boy, slice of, 50s American look. So he looks very much like an old school 50s Hollywood star as opposed to a modern day one. And I think that look is perfect for Superman, especially if you wanted to contrast against Batman, if you're going to keep going with like a Justice League film or, unite the DC universe. I think he's somebody who you could definitely see people getting behind.
Well, he does have a very likable screen presence, does John Krasinski. Andy, some great choices there. Michael B. Jordan, Armie Hammer and John Krasinski as some choices that Andy's putting forward to replace Henry Cavill, should he be definitely out of the running to play Superman in any future films, because it remains very uncertain for Mr. Cavill if he'll be back as the Man of Steel. Until next week, Andy McCarroll, thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, Gordon.
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Now, We Love Movies, it is time to turn our attention to another film which is playing in cinemas this weekend. The film in question is The House with the Clock in Its Walls, starring Jack Black and Cate Blanchett, directed by Eli Roth, who will be best known for horror fans as the man behind Cabin Fever and two of the Hostel movies. There is a third one that went straight to DVD, but he helmed the first two. And ever since then, his career's gone a bit wobbly. There was this awful film, Knock Knock, starring Keanu Reeves. He was behind that. Then he made this cannibal film, Green Inferno, which I think only played at the Horrorthon. That was his only big screen release over here. And then it just got buried online. And then he recently remade Death Wish. And I don't think there was one positive review about that. So his career has been less than stellar over the last few years. But bizarrely, Spielberg has tapped him to direct this film, The House with a Clock in Its Walls, hoping that it can rekindle the Amblin magic of the 80s. Amblin was the production company that Spielberg set up and had great success, as you can imagine, during the 80s. Anyway, I'm still puzzled as to how Eli Roth and Spielberg are working with each other, but Chris Wasser from The Herald joins me now, hopefully to explain a little bit more. Before we get into the plot to this film, Chris, and what you thought of it, can you somehow explain to me why Spielberg went, aha, Eli Roth, he's the man for this gig?
I can't, actually. And it's a bit of a mystery because, Eli Roth has been giving interviews where he said that, he is pretty much as he possibly can do in terms of the grisly, nasty horror fare from which he's made his name these past, 10, 15 years, whatever it is. And that he wants to, start making films that almost resemble the, horror, or the family-friendly horror fantasies from, the 80s. Maybe something like, the first couple of fantasies that Spielberg would have made. That when you really think about it, when you were a kid, these were quite scary films. He wants to do something like this. Now, I don't know whether that's actually his grand plan or whether Spielberg said, get me a meeting with that Eli Roth guy. I feel really sorry for that guy. He obviously has some sort of potential, but he's just squandering it on all of these rubbish horror films. And again, I don't know if I believe him because, Death Wish was only released like 5 minutes ago. So, he's obviously still interested in shocking people to an extent. But that said, and I am usually allergic to his films, Gordon. They just don't do anything for me. I even found his acting stint in Inglourious Basterds by Quentin Tarantino.
It's awful.
Irritating.
Yeah, he was. Do you know what? They originally were supposed to cast, believe it or not, Mickey Rourke for that role as the Bear Jew. And he would have been amazing. But when you see Eli Roth coming through that tunnel, I'm like, ah, good luck.
They build it up so much as well. And then at the end of it, you've got Eli Roth. And I thought, oh, no, this could have been so much better. But at the same time, he just about reins himself in here. The weirdest thing is that this film is actually, it's a PG. So obviously it's Eli Roth's first PG picture. And there are times, we'll get into the plot now in a second, but there are times where he pushes that PG rating as far as he can in terms of, some of the effects involved, some of the jokes, some of the on-screen horrors. As I said, he just about reins himself in. Maybe we should go to the plot story.
Yeah, let's get into it, Chris, because as I mentioned earlier on, Jack Black stars in it as this sort of, he's kind of like a magician type character, and he seems like he's got a bit of a dark past. And then Cate Blanchett, what is she? Is she some sort of witch or some, again, she's another really mysterious character at play. But there's a little boy that seems to be the glue that holds all this together.
Yeah, his name is Lewis Barnevelt, and it's the mid-1950s. And young Lewis, he's played by a young chap named Owen Vaccaro. This is something of a breakout role for him. He has just lost his parents in a car crash, and he's been sent to live with his uncle Jonathan, played by Jack Black, in the fictional town of New Zebedee, Michigan. And he's kind of, he's the quintessential weird movie kid. You know, he never leaves the house without his goggles, like his favorite adventure hero, Captain Midnight. He collects dictionaries, and he's always, he's always seen in a bow tie. But his uncle Jonathan is also a bit strange, and his house is a bit odd, and it's decorated with dozens of clocks. And the truth basically is that Jonathan is a warlock, and Lewis finds out one night, and he also finds out that, Jonathan's next-door neighbour, who's also his best mate, Florence Zimmerman, played by Cate Blanchett, who's so good here, she's a good witch. And, and also the house isn't just odd, it's actually alive. The sofa is alive, the light bulbs, the pictures on the walls, the windows are always changing. It's, this is the house where magic lives, basically. And Lewis finds out, somehow convinces his uncle to be his magic teacher, and they delve into the past of the house, which is that, believe it or not, Kyle MacLachlan, playing a wizard named Isaac Izzard, he used to own the house, and he died while messing about with some dark magic. And before he died, he left a giant, powerful clock hidden within the walls of the house. So when Jonathan moved in, he just became, maddened by this ticking every night, and he's determined to find it. Now, I won't say why he needs to find this, but he certainly needs to. It might lead to something bad. So that's pretty much the basic setup. I mean, things take a bit of a wobble when, Lewis starts getting really good at magic, and he discovers a book on how to raise the dead, and again, I won't go any further, but it's this, it's almost this kind of makeshift magic family. A little bit of, it could be a Goosebumps story, but actually Goosebumps is probably inspired by the original story, which you're going back to the 70s for the Lewis Barnevelt series by John Bellaris.
Well, what we'll do? Let's just take a clip from The House with the Clocks. It's a tough old title. The House with the Clock in its Walls, and then we'll find out if it's any use after this.
Do you know what a warlock is, Lewis?
A boy witch.
I think they're a little more than boy witches.
Are you saying that you're a warlock? Please teach me, please, please.
Okay, have it your way.
I can give you the right books, teach you the right spells, but that last 1%, that's up to you.
I don't want the creepy little runt. Think I want him?